Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the April 1st, 2025 regular meeting of council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Moving to 16.1. Now a resolution 25-171, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Keckman, that be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes for the District of Perry Sound West, Belvedere Heights Board of Management meeting on Wednesday, February the 26th, 2025. Discussion of those minutes? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 25-172, moved by Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes for the Township of McKellar Public Library Board meeting on February the 24th, 2025. Discussion of those minutes? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 25-173, moved by Councilor Keckin, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes for the McKellar Recreation Committee meeting on March the 27th, 2025. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. To 17.3 now, since we've moved point one and point two to the beginning of the meeting. We have resolution 25-174, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskins. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received report admin-2025-04, request for use of township owned property at 3 Stony Road, formerly the Stoneman property, for dog hunting, training, and competitive field trials. And Clerk Administrator Carly Britton for information. Further, approved Ron Gill's request to use township-owned property at 3 Stony Road for competitive training for his own dog, subject to the following conditions. Number one, staff shall notify neighboring residents of the proposed use. And two, Mr. Gill must provide a certificate of insurance naming the township as an additional insured and enter into an agreement indemnifying the township. And further, that the township reserves the right to revoke approval at any time without notice for any reason deemed necessary. Further, that authorization shall be reviewed in 2026 should Mr. Gill wish to continue using the property. Discussion? Councilor Zulak?
So it says for training of his own dog. And then up here further it has, where does it say? So he has more than one dog, I'm guessing, for training his dogs. So will there be other people's dogs there, or just his own?
No, my apologies. That shouldn't have been an additional S. It's just one dog.
Oh, so it's just for his dog's
Correct.
Training?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So no other trainers.
And did I read somewhere, too, that they may be shooting off guns?
No, no firearms.
No firearms?
Councilor Ryan?
Just relative to what Councillor Zulak just mentioned, perhaps that should be a condition. I know that it's in here, so it's important to note that no firearms will be used during training, but perhaps that should be in the approval or whatever, just to be clear that that is a condition.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, even in the resolution, absolutely no firearm use on the property, just in case somebody else is reading that thing, oh, well, he gets to take his dog there and training for hunting and everything. He's, you know, maybe he's hunting there on township property.
We're going to tell him to go to your place to shoot the guns.
So, but that's just my suggestion. I'm sure it's
I'm not
an understanding.
I just think it should be there because it's been agreed to already, that's all. So.
It's in the, going to be in an agreement then? No, with no firearm usage on the property?
Correct. If council were to approve this request and we would move forward with an agreement, then within the agreement it would specify no firearms are to be just charged on township property, including this one.
Okay.
So would that agreement come back to council?
It can, if that's what council wishes. I would recommend that the township solicitor draft the agreement and then it come back to council. I did quote a figure. I believe $2,500 is on the high end, but kind of just wanted to give a higher end rather than have a surprise when the bill comes through.
Councilor Kaiman?
So the $2,500 is for the legal draft of the agreement?
Correct. So that would be the township solicitor's fees to draft an agreement.
So would that be covered by the township or the applicant, Mr. Gill?
Mr. Gill.
It was part of my questions because under the Occupiers Liability Act, the occupier's duty in occupier premises owes a duty to take such care as in all the circumstances of the case is reasonable to see that persons entering the premises and the property brought on the premises by those persons are reasonably safe while on the premises. So it would require that the township staff go and do a thorough assessment of the property to make sure there's no anything there that may cause any injury or cause, and the other thing is, an area like that is it has a lot of vegetation growing there now because it's no longer a pit. So is the township going to be responsible for clearing paths so that there is so that there's safe access to the areas that that Mr. Gill is going to be accessing?
No, but obviously that creates more liability for the township, so that's why we needed to take this request and get an opinion from our insurance company. They didn't mention that specifically, but that is a good point.
And I think because it's such a visible spot that anyone driving by will sort of feel that, you know, shouldn't everyone have access to that piece of property? You know, it would be nice to have some walking trails, you know, have maybe a dog park. So I think it's hard to restrict access just for one person to use this township property when other people will see that there's some activity going on and maybe they'd like to enjoy that piece of property as well.
Councilor Zulak?
So can you just clarify for me where actually this is? You're saying the pit? That's where it is?
Yes.
I thought maybe it was the field?
No, it's the pit property where the water lays.
Okay.
Because
for the training.
For his training needs.
I guess the one thing just to remind council of what happened recently in hunting season on the Balsam Trail.
Mm-hmm.
It's public property, yes, so anybody can access that. There was somebody hunting on the Balsam Trail, and a neighbor was quite concerned because even though he'd suggested apparently to this person that you shouldn't be hunting on the public trail, the argument was, well, it's public property, I can do that if I want to, and there's no legislation saying that I can't. So my concern here is that whatever's going on public property, we do the same with snowmobiles, that if they're going to use any public property or part of a trail as part of the trail, they can't keep anybody off that trail if they don't even have a permit, if it's public property. So my concern here would be that other people wanting to access that property, not that they would, but they could. And of course, it's the unforeseen of the future, what might happen and what people might want to do on there, as you suggest. And we can't really stop them from going on. Nothing from Mr. Gill to say that, well, you can't come on here when I'm doing this. Not that he would be saying that to other people anyway, but, and my concern is, I guess, it's a high-profile area, somewhat residential, certainly when you get beyond there. And because it's been specified now where it's located, that helps a bit because that's a big piece of property. And it does extend, and I think the way it's worded, my idea was that impression I got that it was going to be all of that property available all day to do this training, and I think we'd soon have neighbors coming back to us in that area. So they have to be notified, yes, but before or after an agreement is made, that's what we have to consider. Councilor Bazula.
So I'm also wondering about when the roads crew are working down there with heavy equipment and things like that, would that be a
liability or hazard.
Not that it was identified by the insurance company Could it be? I'm not quite sure.
I'm just thinking, you know, if the dogs are running, the dogs are running loose and they're backing up and going forward with the trucks and track loaders.
You have Ron Gill and attends a good question.
Oh, you're Ron Gill? Okay.
So that might be useful as we come up with questions. Maybe you can come up to the mic and answer some of our questions. That would be helpful, I think, yeah. But maybe now, yeah, sure. We can just have it back and forth here. That's good.
Sure. My name's Ron Gill. An application to use the Old Stoneman property, the pit, for municipalities, for the use of dog training for training my dog. So I have a singular dog, first of all. Secondly, I didn't want to specify when I was going to train because depending on the sun and the weather and my time off work, when I go to train, as you can imagine, you don't train a single dog 8 hours a day or you soon bury that dog 6 feet under. So my training consists of usually an hour to 2 hours. In that hour to 2 hours, most of it's my footballs out there getting things set up for running the training scenario. We don't use firearms. Other pieces of property I have used noisemakers, so it's a starter pistol, but I didn't make application to use it on this piece of property, nor would I use it on this piece of property for obvious reasons. The reason I need this piece of property, or would like to use this piece of property, is the water. To train at the level that we compete at, we need called re-entry, so they go through a piece of water, they go back on land, back into water. They need narrow channels, they need points to cross or points to avoid crossing, depending on, again, the scenario that's set up. So this piece of water is what they call structured water. It allows me some opportunity to train here locally that I don't have presently. Right now, I'm driving down to Clearwater to a piece of property that has structured water. So as you imagine, driving to Clearwater and back kind of limits the amount of time I can train, the number of days a week I can train. So when I do train about 5 days a week, sometimes six, usually after work, always on the weekend at some point. I do have four local farms that afford me the opportunity to use their pieces of property. I do have some water, but it's unstructured. It's just little pockets of ponds. Everyone thinks that, well, Perry Sound's full of water and we have more water than we have land. However, it's not the amount of water, it's the structure of the water. The structure, again, you can take a look at that the ponds that are on the Old Stoneman property, and you can see that there's channels and points and spits and where you can get in one pot and have to get in another. That's what I need to train at the level that we're working at. So, okay. I might even cut this shorter for you. Carly was kind enough to put the application to the council. Thank her for that. She did mention that it could be $2,800 for legal fees to draft a resolution. I am a taxpayer in Keller Township. I in no way, shape, or form want to see my tax dollars go towards one man's interest. So certainly I don't expect the council to pay for the drafting of a resolution through our legal counsel. Nor do I have the financial wherewithal to afford $2,800 to put towards one piece of property that I'll be using maybe 1 or 2 days a week for the course of the summer. So if that's the jumping off point, then we can cut this short and you guys can get on with the rest of your meeting. So.
Well, appreciate that. The candor, the honesty. And I think that is a concern. Well, we've talked so many things that we have to do, and the expense of everything we do as soon as we talk to an insurance company and liability on public property, as I mentioned, and then, as you say, with an agreement being drawn up, and we have to follow legislation to protect everybody in the township. So if that's the turning point, maybe we can cut it short. I'm a little concerned, I guess, with, and as you say, the other properties. It seemed more like an exercise that would be done through a private property owner that lets you do that. Since you're on the public property, there are a lot of other issues to be concerned with. As you say, people, if the person, for instance, went on there and was attacked by your dog, not that that would happen, but if it did happen, then we just have to consider public property and what use it's put to and the precedent that it might be setting. So I'll put it out to council and whether you want to deal with it right now, or Carly's pretty sure of that figure. Our solicitors are not cheap.
Well, on dogs on public property, they have to have a leash, do they not? Like here at the beach and everything, they're supposedly supposed to be leashed.
Well, we don't really have a dog bylaw, but that's the assumption.
There was signs there that said.
Well, there are signs,
yeah.
Yes. But, yeah.
So I'm just. Like even at Minerva Park and stuff.
Other comments from the council at this point? Councilor Ryan?
Can I just ask, I mean, how would you respond if other people arrived on the property at the same time, especially other people with dogs? Do you know how?
Well, I would respond if the council would give me permission to use the property, and knowing that I was the only one that had permission through the council to use the property, I'd respond the same way I respond to the members of our community who trespass on the farms that I use when I train. And that's been happened twice in the last 5 years. And it turns out that those trespassers weren't trespassing for the first time with my being there, but I would certainly inform them of the fact that they shouldn't be there and make sure that the powers that be, being landowners or the council,
right,
knows that who's been trespassing on the property. Yeah, that's
okay.
It wouldn't certainly be my primary function, but it's I know at least one farmer appreciates me because I train on most of his back 40, and he does have a problem with trespassers. So he says, I'm doing him a huge service by being out there. The people that are trespassing know that I have permission, and they don't, so they're less likely to trespass.
Yeah, well, one of the things that council has to consider, of course, is the length of time, as you say, that you'd be out there fairly often. And we have special functions, people using public property, then they get permission for that particular time.
Okay.
But we don't have a situation where they can, you know, have exclusive right to that property over a long period of time. So
I would argue that the term out there for a long time, because as stated, the training sessions are no more than 2 hours, and if I'm out there 2 days a week for the summer, that's a lot. As I said, I've got many other properties I train with. I have other places I go. So, again, that the duration of the arrangement you're accurate in saying that it's long term, but certainly not the use of the property.
Yeah, it's hard, I guess, for us to talk about the exclusivity of it. That you can exclude everybody else from using it, even during that time you're out there, whether it's a short period or a long period. And I think that's a concern.
Would they not be welcome to apply to the council of plan?
Well, yes, but as I say, I'm worried about setting a precedent there, too. And then if we start to allow that, then where does it really end? So. Anyway, council can make a call on this. We have the resolution on the floor. We've been given more information since, if that's the cost it's going to be, and we've been informed that it might be, if we send it off to get a contract and a solicitor. What do you want to do? It's Councilor Zulak's motion. Councilor Capitol.
Okay, I like what Mr. Gill is doing. I've seen some of his dog videos, and I think that's a great way, you know, that he's what he's doing. But I think that this is a bigger picture. This is restricting access for anyone else to go to a piece of property that is public property, and it could be a great piece of property at some point in time if it was set up that way, like that there was, it was maintained properly so that there was no potential hazards, that there was walking trails, that there was a dog park there. You know, maybe that's something to look at for the future, but I think as well that we do need to have a legal agreement drafted, and I think we were given an answer that, you know, that cost is prohibitive in this case. And it's good that Mr. Gill has some other options available to him, that this is not preventing him from going forward with, continuing on with something that he obviously immensely enjoys and benefits from, so.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with Mike, Ron, and it's unfortunate that, we would have to have an agreement drawn up, and it's usually the council's wish to have it a legal agreement drawn up by a lawyer, so there would be the cost involved. So I would be leaning that way myself as an individual on council, and if the majority of council feels that way, I would probably the easiest thing would be to withdraw your request, I would think, going forward, but so that's up to Carly and yourself how you want to do that.
Okay, well, we're having a resolution on the floor.
Okay.
So we'll vote on it.
So we have to do that.
Okay.
So you ready to vote on it then?
Yep.
Okay, so I'll call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Okay, so it's defeated.
Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On to 17.4. Resolution 25-175, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receive report bylaw 2025-02, request for a noise exemption, wedding and reception from bylaw enforcement officer Chris Fasolke for information purposes, and further grant a noise exemption to David and Karen Murray at number 7, Fire Route 306, McKellar, Ontario, P2A OB5. For the period starting September the 20th, 2025 at 2 p.m. to September 21st, 2025 at 2 a.m. And further, that hand-delivered notices be provided to those properties within 150-meter radius of the property at least 2 weeks before the event, and that the township will supply a list of civic addresses that must be notified. Discussion? Councilor Zulak?
So I'm just wondering, we've got a lot of things going on this summer. This doesn't conflict with any of the other, the ball field or anything like that, the rib fest, nothing like that?
No.
Okay.
It's the, we've given noise exemption, certainly. I'm just trying to look at the anticipating, I guess. That's at the end, I guess, of a fairly built up area. What if, this is a scenario, people object, neighbors, what's our next step? We can still allow it, but...
We can have on the notice something to say that if you have any concerns, please contact the bylaw enforcement officer or the township and we'd be able to address them. I'm not sure what the solution would be at that point, but just have a two-way communication so that if neighbors in the area are concerned, that we are hearing that.
Okay, and I think that's good that it's 2 weeks before the event that the notice is sent out, so they have opportune time to comment if they wish. They won't know the noise level necessarily, but they can anticipate it, I guess. And yeah, we'll have to deal with that when we get there. But any further discussion on that one? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 17.5, resolution 25-176, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report PW-2025-01, liquid calcium, A&B gravel, and winter sand tender results for information purposes, and further that the following tenders be awarded as outlined. Tender 2025-02, liquid calcium, awarded to Daly at a bid amount of $82,840.32. Plus HST in the amount of $10,769.24 for total contract value of $93,609.56. Tender 2025-03 A&B gravel awarded to Fowler Construction at a bid amount of $59,924 for granular A and $14,192 for granular B, plus HST in the amount of $9,635.08. For a total contract value of $83,751.08. And tender 2025-04, the winter sand, awarded to Fowler Construction at a bid amount of $99,300 plus HST in the amount of $12,909 for a total contract value of $112,209. Discussion? I want to comment as well on the report. Extremely well done. Quite impressed with that. One question, I guess. You did the report by the looks of it, Carly. Was one of the background to that why our public works superintendent didn't do the report?
Just because he's currently away and he wouldn't be able to speak to it for the report. He did obviously review it and sign it prior to him location.
Okay. I think in this one too, just again so the public is aware, I think he increased the liquid calcium quote from last year and decreased the gravel and the sand amounts. Is that true? Can you recall?
So the budget was amended, well, the draft budget was guided this year primarily on what occurred last year, so obviously our quotes came in a little bit different. It's easily manageable though for liquid calcium. We just order less loads, same with gravel and winter sand. We can just adjust accordingly as the vendors are fairly flexible with doing so.
And I guess the question to pass on to the Public Works Superintendent when he returns, what's he doing with all the winter sand that's already in the yard? That seems to be an excessive amount this year. I know he's ordering less, but he's still ordering when there's an awful lot still in the field.
He'll be moving the winter sand that's currently in the yard into the dome, and then we're also looking at future storage options as well.
Because I'm just wondering that when it goes into the dome, I think the contract said that they have to we supply the salt, but they have to put it with the sand when it goes in the dome. And so I guess my question is, that's not salted right now. It's just pure sand. Is he going to salt that when he puts it in the dome? And what happens to the contract where they're supposed to be doing that? Would there be any urine left in the dome when they come?
I
know it's not the fall, but...
Yeah, the contractor will be mixing, and he'll have to work it out logistically with what placement in the yard.
Okay. Other questions on the tenders? Most of these are set for September, was it? I'm trying to think of when they actually wanted the application. I guess the calcium would be certainly sooner.
Yeah, the calcium comes when we order it, when we're ready. The winter sand Fowler does, for lack of a better term, a milk run. So they do all the municipalities in this area at the same time. So they do coordinate a date with us, but they usually tell us when they're coming. And gravel, we're pretty good at working with the contractor to get the gravel that we currently need, but not stockpiling.
Okay, any further discussion? Call the question, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. On to 17.6. To accounts payable report, and we'll have a resolution shortly. Any questions on the report? Councilor Ryan?
On page one, yes. Under Near North Business Machines, we have office equipment for laptops. Can you tell me how many there were and who they were for? If you know.
You're saying page one?
Hold on, there's more than one page one in my copy, so.
Go with the...
Yeah,
the magic marker number, that's
yeah.
Go by.
Okay, so page two.
Page two, okay.
Those were the council laptops, and there were five of them.
Sorry?
Five of them?
The five
council laptops.
And who are they for? I mean, I don't...
Members of council.
Okay.
You're using one.
I'm looking at one, yeah. Okay, thank you.
We're agreeable to that.
I wonder, I just, you know, it was seemed, well, it took a few months to show up, and that's probably a good thing, too. So.
Oh, by the way, we're short one, as you can see.
Yes. What did you do to it?
Well, personal stuff I had on it.
The magic marker numbers are good, too. They're easy to spot.
That was excellent. Councilor Keckner.
So page five, and this is transportation, and it's the... repairs for backhoe starter. So is Adams Brothers doing the repairs for a lot of the equipment now?
They are. They are licensed to do the repairs now.
And so is that the backhoe that was at the transfer station?
Yes.
So that was what was wrong with it the day it wouldn't start, was that the starter was going on it?
I don't know if that was the entire issue, but it was a good working order currently.
And so that's the John Deere backhoe?
Yeah, that is the one at the transfer station.
that one had to go. So that has some other repairs on it as well. On page 22. So it had another $4,000 worth of repairs on it?
Yes, it has had some major repairs recently, but now that the issue's been rectified, I don't foresee any future repairs.
Okay, thank you.
We're sort of seeing repair bill going up here, but I think part of that is that there weren't any repair bills in the past for a period of time, and the machines, some of them were in poor shape, and they just needed that work done now. And you're right, though, that there's a fine line between what needed to be done prior and wasn't, and what's happening now, and what has to be repaired. So the game would have to call on our public works superintendent to know what equipment to keep running. He's also got a new backhoe, I think, in the budget, right? For $200,000?
Yes, that is correct. Just with speaking with him, it's better to keep older machines just because they can sometimes be more cost effective to repair, as newer machines have emissions and computers and whatnot that can be more costly. So we're hoping to keep this backhoe and not having to use the money within that budget capital item, but if it were to occur that we need it, it is there. But we're hoping to keep that machine working.
That's interesting to hear. So we have $200,000 that we can put under roads, maybe? No,
I don't want to say for sure, but like, as a, we may need this money for a backhoe, but we're hoping we do not, or. I'm tired.
Yeah. Here's another one for you. Currently a repaired water line at the shore, that's here at the community center, isn't it?
That is correct.
Where is it located, near the beach?
It is. It's like 2 feet out from the, like in the water from the beach. But more over this way.
I should find out exactly where that is, because could that have been something to do with packing with the snowmobiles?
No, it was the weather.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The problem was the heater line is set at a certain temperature, and that day the temperature went really high, so the heater line shut off.
But that night
it dropped really quick, and so it didn't give the heater line enough time to come back on, and the line broke.
The one was fluke things.
Yeah. So they did turn up the heater line a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So that it won't turn off until a certain temperature.
Right. How far out in the lake does it go? Do you know at all? Like it's
not very
far.
No,
because it's not very deep there.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But okay.
Well, actually, I'm far lake. In the beach too.
Deep
you get
fast.
Deep fast.
Yeah, it does.
Once you're out
of
the ways. And I know we had a hall full of people at that day too, didn't we? The seniors, and they were having a potluck, and so it was a question of, and they were quite good at coming out quickly and fixing
it.
So.
Okay.
Page 18, I have a question here on maintenance for Constable Towing. It looks like the different dates is the 3rd and the 11th, but it seems to be the same amount for auto greaser failing, and then I assume it was fixed, and then there's an auto greaser failing. There's a repeat of the same figures exactly, but about a week apart. So I'm just wondering what the history is on that, if there is one.
I'm not sure the history on that unit, so we'd have to look into it.
They do at least have a different invoice number.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Yeah.
But what worried me was that it was repaired, supposedly, and then it failed.
That's
again.
True. Yeah.
Page 14, can you just tell me, under planning and development, that last one, the Pretzel Loan Co. Inc., what is that?
doesn't seem to be an amount linked to that.
Oh, so it's overpayment for market vendor fees. So you see on the next page, it continues.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Can you tell me, I know it's not really your question, but can you tell me why we have the market in under planning and development? I mean, I admit that I don't know where else it could be or should be, but I did notice it in the document a couple times, actually. So I don't think it's a big deal. It's just a question, that's all. But.
Yeah, we can double check that it was assigned to the correct GL, but yeah, we'll get to that.
I mean, it has its own segment of the budget, so couldn't we put it in its own section of the check-in report?
I don't think we have much control of how the report generates.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's no big deal. It's just first time I thought, well, that's kind of an odd place, but anyway, it's it works.
Well, I guess it's, she's planning what vendors come to the market, so...
I can't confirm that GL is under
she's developing them, maybe, but yes. Yeah, so.
It is under the McKellar Marketing
Just
Code.
Ignore it. Don't pay attention. It's just a dumb question.
It may have been that the funding for the market got cut off or something.
Yeah.
Any other comments on the accounts payable? They have resolution 25-177, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Hassel, and be by the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar, does hereby receive the accounts payable report for March 2025 from Treasurer Roshan Cantia for information purposes. Any further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Resolution 25-178, moved to Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Tekkinen. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the agenda for the District of Prairie Sound Municipal Association Spring 2025 meeting to be held on Friday, May 23rd, 2025, in the Township of Calendar for information purposes, and further direct staff to register all members of Council and Party Breton to attend the meeting with the cost of registration to be paid by the Township. Discussion? Big speakers coming there. That's good.
So we've got this is Vic Fidelli's writing, I believe, isn't it? Yeah.
Councilor Haskins usually asks, well, I think it tells what the food is, right?
Yeah, I'm,
well,
a,
you're okay.
I'm going.
Okay.
So it's approved. The
okay.
Food.
All the questions. All those approved. And opposed, carried.
Trips to go to this meeting, huh? Calendar.
On to 21.1. That resolution 25-179, moved by Councilor Tekkinen, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-20, being a bylaw to adopt the estimates of all sums required during the year 2025 yearly budget, first and second reading. Discussion? This is a summary that's been attached to the bylaw for the two readings, and then the third reading at the next council meeting. But I've asked Carly, and I think the full budget's available if anybody wants one,
yep.
A copy of it, so take a look at that as well. Any discussions from council? Mm-hmm. Councilor Kagan?
So I just wanted to make sure, because we now received again verification from Intact Public Entities about the insurance, what they came and presented is accurate. So to ensure that we have enough in the budget in case council wants to increase the scheduling of a few of the bridges, probably not all of them, we certainly wouldn't be necessary to do in Holmes, Stewart Park, or Redlands Memorial Bridge, but Kerrville Bridge at a cost of $1,142, possibly Forest Bridge, because that's relatively an older bridge, and Broadbent Bridge is pretty recent, and Rail Bridge. So for just to make sure that there's enough, I think that's an additional $5,000 in the budget.
sort of stuck there, that there's a review of the bridges this year, but they usually wait until the end of the year to do those reviews. And it usually you'd wait until then to see you know, what their recommendation is. They wouldn't deal with insurance as such, but I think their description of the bridge and what shape it's in would help us determine whether we should have a replacement value on certain bridges. Yes?
Unfortunately, we were underinsured on Inholmes Bridge, and that cost the taxpayers $450,000. So, and now we're doing repairs on Herdville Bridge. Hopefully, the insurance of the other party is going to cover that. If not, then that's another. We're paying up front $450,000 just for railing repairs, once again, because we're underinsured. In all these cases, if we would have been fully insured, then the insurance provider would have gone to bat for us and ensured that we would have been able to recoup, and if we had all perils, we would be able to recoup replacement or repair costs. So right away, $450,000 on Inholmes Bridge, if we would have spent that, an additional $5,000 a year, it wouldn't have costed the taxpayers $450,000, which wiped out a majority of our reserves, a significant portion of our reserves. So I think this is a very small price to pay to ensure that we're in a good proactive position in case something happens.
I think it's excellent. And I think, again, we have to go back to previous council and what they had insured the bridges at. And I'm not exactly sure the deed for that accident on Inholmes. I don't know whether you can recall when that happened. Anybody? I don't have the date.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
So what I'm suggesting is, yeah, we would be proactive and look into that, as you suggest. I'm not sure whether that's the type of thing that you might not be able to rely on the report from the engineers, because I don't recall, I probably wasn't on council at the time, but I don't recall that they said it was in bad shape, that it needed to be replaced or anything. I can't remember what they said with Inholmes. Maybe you recall what the review said.
It would have been somewhere on the chart, something similar to Herdville Bridge, but nonetheless, the insurance company would have gone to bat for us no matter if it was in excellent condition or if it was in poor condition, if we would have been sufficiently insured regarding our bridges. It's just a very clear case that we were underinsured. It cost the taxpayers $450,000, which would not be the case if we would have spent an additional $5,000 a year on an insurance premium.
Yeah, so just a question of when all of this occurred. Certainly moving forward, I think it's a good point you're making, Councillor Ryan.
In looking at my emails, that was in, well, a notification was on July 26, 2022.
Yeah.
So,
previous council.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, that's why it's good if this council here makes
a
very good decision.
Agree 100%.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's an excellent catch. And if we can do that for that little money, we should do it. So. I know you've excluded some bridges, which makes some common sense to me, but I have no expertise on the subject. Is it worth asking, well, at a minimum, I was going to say Craig, sorry, Tom, and or others to confirm that those other bridges are...
Well, we're having a study then, again, every 2 years has to be done,
okay.
So I think that would help.
Determine.
Yeah, I think in this case, because of the amount you're saying is not excessive, and which is unusual for insurance. So you just have to be sure, and I don't think we will in this case be insurance poor. I think we're well covered, as you say, if we have the full coverage. It would make sense. I think the money would be in there as well, because we just heard there might be $200,000 floating around, so. Tom's not here to defend that one, but.
So at the last meeting when we discussed the budget, then we were discussing Hardy's Road, and I think all of council agreed that it was in a condition that needed repair at some time in the very near future. And so I think there was a consensus that that something be done in this coming year. So Carly, you sort of provided, sent an email at some point, so if you can maybe update what staff decided was going to be the direction going forward.
Within this draft budget, there is a line item for Hardy's Road to be engineered. Past practice was when Hardy's Road was originally resurfaced, the base wasn't addressed. So there's very large boulders within the base that need to be removed. It was basically mud. There wasn't adequate gravel put down. So we don't want to rush into this project without identifying the issues with the base. So that will be identified through engineering. That will take place in 2025. Then in 2026, the resurfacing and reconstruction of the road will take place. But we just need time to adequately determine what needs to be done to the base so that the surface has a longer lifespan. Over the summer, it is on Public Works radar to ensure that the road is passable. They did put down a load of gravel and have graded it, and they are continuing to ensure that the road is passable, and they are taking a very close eye on it. So they will do whatever necessary to have it passable, and perhaps when another capital project is being pulverized, it's Herdville Road, the machine will be in close proximity, so if we get into the year and the Public Works Department thinks that they are unable to maintain the surface to a higher standard, then we can get in, get the surface pulverized, and that portion just be gravel until it's reconstructed and resurfaced in 2026.
Yeah, council wishes, member of the council might wish to speak, if council is agreeable to that.
Yes, sure.
Okay.
It's the Hardy's Road section that I'm sat through this whole meeting about. And those two fellows that were with me, they couldn't stay anymore because they're involved with this as well.
Okay.
We drive that road every day.
Sorry, just wait for the people online, just have your names.
Ed Duchesne.
Okay, thank you.
So we drive that road every day. Okay, it's like a minefield. It's terrible. Our vehicles are getting damaged. You know, people are avoiding the potholes. There's going to be a head on there one of these days. It's dangerous, right? So recently I've seen that they've put some sand in some of the potholes, but that road has not been graded. There's still all kinds of potholes there. You know,
okay.
I invite you all to drive down that road. You wouldn't want to take your vehicle down there.
No, I've been down, and I don't want to go back.
Well,
but we've been told tonight that there has been some repair done to it. So
they've patched some of them. It's way better, but it's still bad. There's still a lot of potholes that are still not filled. Now, whatever they're putting in there is much better than those cold patch they were putting in, because the next rain, that stuff just washed right out again, right? They never tamped it down. I guess they were depending on vehicles to drive over it, but that didn't cut it. So whatever they're putting in there now, it's staying in from what I can see.
Okay.
But there needs to be more put in. There's still a lot of potholes.
Yeah, it's certainly on the radar. They know about it.
So I'm happy something's getting done at least. Right?
Yeah. I appreciate that. And the study, as you say, is on the agenda. And in the meantime, or in the budget, sorry, in the meantime, they will be in there trying to keep it in, as you say, passable shape. And certainly can be better than it was.
I just wonder why they don't just put a load of gravel in there and cover the whole thing up until you figure out what you're going to do.
And we have to leave that to our experts, so see what they say.
That would make sense for me, but whatever.
Yeah, but that is an option that Carly mentioned, that when we're working on Herdville Road, then the road grinder will be on Herdville Road.
Right.
So if the Public Works Superintendent decides at that point of the summer that it would make more sense to grind the
right.
surface on that section of Hardy's Road, that's an option.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, I'm glad something's finally getting done.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time.
Okay, great, thank you. Any further discussion of the budget figures? First and second reading.
We do have a budget meeting prior to final reading? Will be, oh no, we don't have it on that Friday now?
No, so, because the draft version 2 is saying the same, we're doing a first and second reading tonight, and then a third reading on May 6th.
Okay, so are we given direction to add in this insurance amounts for the final reading?
I would think it'd have to be a budget adjustment. I don't know if it's in there right now, but I think the money is in there. It's just a matter of moving things around.
Well, I think when we...
You want a direction then?
Well, I think because we haven't passed the budget, we don't have to make an amendment to this current version. If there's just made the adjustment of $5,000 just in the...
But I'm thinking the easier way would be to, because he's put a lot of work into these figures, if he has to go back and change all those figures again for the end result, it's going to change just by a few dollars to pass the budget. Then to make the amendment, if we go that route, much simpler than making all the amendments right now. I know what you're saying, but I'm just saying that from the treasurer's point of view, I'm not sure if this is the best thing to do, is ask him to redo the whole budget.
Yeah, because there's monies going into, I think, road construction reserve of some sort. It could be as simple as just switching 5,000 over, so we can leave it up to Roseanne, I guess, to make those changes prior to the third reading.
We can actually, if council wanted to, because right now there's more in the budget than what was in there previously, so if council wanted to make that decision on increasing the, or scheduling some of these bridges, we could make that now because the insurance renewal isn't until later in the summer. So when we receive the insurance renewal, then we don't know what the number is going to be, so I'm thinking that we probably will be, because if we add that extra schedule those bridges, it's not going to be, because we're doing it partially through the year, it's going to be less than actually what is mentioned here, so it's prorated for the year. I think we'll be safe with those numbers because he did, I think, add an extra 10% onto what was just estimating that insurance prices are going to be going up 10%. So I think because it's such a small amount that we would be safe making that decision and still be safe with what the insurance cost is going to be when it comes forward. And if we're over budget on insurance, then we're over budget. You know, there's continually things that are over budget or under budget, and the budget is an estimate of the sums required.
$5,000 won't make a bit of difference on that. So.
Any further discussion? Call the question, and all those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-180, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-23, being a bylaw to authorize the Corporation of the Township of McKellar to authorize purchase of lands from Amayan Akbar and Rubina Kokab, part of PIN 52127-0742. First and second reading, and further read a third time and passed at open council this 15th day of April 2025. Discussion? I don't know whether you want to give a little background on that. I know it's in the package, but.
Sure. So this property acquisition is for our new ball field. We needed to acquire plus or minus 850 square meters to ensure that the grade can be sloped off to. First off, fit the ball field, and second, just have a gentler slope because right now, currently, where the property line ends, it's quite a drop-off, so we just want to ensure safety, and then also we don't have to put fencing on that side, so this is the reason for that property acquisition.
Councilor Ryan?
Does this have any impact on what MLCA was talking about with planting trees? Is this the same area? Or is
no,
it?
They're speaking about the shoreline.
Okay.
And this property acquisition has no shoreline.
Okay.
But I did mention to them that if they wanted to plant trees, perhaps on that side, just to create more of like a natural barrier because there is no fence.
Right.
And it just provides aesthetics to the property.
I'm still interested if maybe Councillor Haskell can figure that for the snowmobile trail. Where does it actually? You've seen the drawings.
Off of at about the third base.
So it goes through the field.
Yes, it would come through.
If you've seen his drawings, I'm not sure if he has a gate along the fence. But
I don't think so.
No,
so
I know he has one on the.
I keep harping on it.
Yeah.
Now we need a gate that can be swung open for the winters for snowmobiles to access down onto Armstrong Lake.
And the way it works, I mean, they're off. That's not going to affect the ball field at all in any way, the trail.
I wouldn't.
I know it does on the highway when it cuts through the pavement. But.
Yeah, no, you can. They, for the most part, they can go across people's lawns and fields and everything, and have
you
no
stay
effect.
Off septics.
That's right. So no, I'm hoping that there will be an access for snowmobiles to go down through there, or if they're going to access. Then who knows where? Like,
there'll be a ramp. Over the fence, will it?
Yeah. So I'm hoping in talks as we start the development and then the price when Bob starts to lay out the fencing that, yeah, there is a gate left there, which might come in for more handy for more than just that. It may, if our access is going around that way, it could be another access to around rather than come in on the first base side against the arena.
Right.
Cool. Access through that the same gate I'm talking about that should be put in.
Well, I'm just saying he's already tendered the fencing. There's no gate in it that I can see. So
well, I have mentioned it.
Yeah, how do you
many
get it
times? I that's all I can do.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that'll be passed on to him.
Yeah, we may have to come up with a bit of a different solution, but we're not impeding the snowmobile trail at all. But like Mayor Moore said, the tender has been released, but we'll come up with a solution.
Yeah, just for the public's information, that this money that we're spending on the purchasing the land is coming from the parkland dedication.
Right. And again, it's something that I guess when the plans were drawn up or something that maybe wasn't considered in the, what was required there for the full size ball field. As I say, we'll have to see if Grady can hit it over the fence, and in which case. Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to unfinished business. Anything list? Should or should not be included?
In the quotation for playground equipment, I don't know how you're coming along with that, Carly, but there is now a new recreation committee in Broadbent called Broadbent Snowbugs. It's
okay.
Seven members now, and I think four of them between them have seven kids on this committee. So if you're trying to make a decision, you'd like some input at all, that would be an avenue through by email if you thought you wanted any input if you're not sure.
Okay. I basically do have the report completed, so I will say that survey identified 20 children within Broadbent.
Okay.
And then we've broken it down into age groups and then recommended play equipment for those age groups.
Okay.
So it would be one swing set and one slide.
Right. That's fine.
Okay. So.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be big and elaborate by any means. We would love that, but, you know, it's...
And it's within budget, and the Public Works Department's helping us out with cutting some costs, so that will be on the May 6th. I just missed the deadline for this meeting, but if you wanted to maybe mention that to the group, I could perhaps even send them a copy of it to review.
Yeah, if you want to send me a copy, I'll forward it on to them.
Yep.
Sure.
Could you send me a copy, too? I got my daughter-in-law and some other mothers that are keen on this, so... Thank you.
Yeah, no conflict there, Councillor Kecker?
I'm just saying.
Oh, I know.
And I'm being honest and open about it. So,
Councillor Kecker.
Any updates on, it's not on the list here, but the St. Stephen's easement?
Yes, so the draft survey has been completed. It is now being sent to the property owners for approval. They did have some questions that were forwarded to our solicitor, and she's since answered them today. Just basically questioning where it is. So we've identified where the stakes are. So now we're just waiting for property owners to take a look and get back to us.
Great. And then regarding the Westbury Sound Police Services Board, there was a big rush to be able to pass the terms of reference so that some community members could be appointed prior to the, which was normally the April board meeting. Have you heard any?
And no date's been determined for the committee, the selection committee, to meet.
Okay. Any new business? Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members, committee meetings. Councilor Zulak.
I don't have any reports, but I was
okay.
Just
okay.
I was wondering at this point at the our last council meeting, Jan Gibson had asked if someone from council would do the opening for the market, and I would like to put David's name forward, and then we could forward that on to Jan, and I think it would be appropriate for the mayor to do the opening.
Here.
What's the date of that? July 1st? Well, I'll be a little late, I guess. It's June, isn't it?
The last Saturday in June. I do know that much. But
yeah, June 28th.
Yeah.
I'm willing to attend, too, if it's an open invitation.
Yeah,
it's
everyone. Yeah.
It's either that or I got a volunteer at a booth, so.
Oh, well, now then.
That might only take 10 minutes and I'm out of that.
Well, it's public property, so you can't throw anybody out at any time.
So is that okay? And you'll forward that to Jan so she knows? Tough luck.
Sure. Any other committees?
Yes, I had a recreation committee meeting and you just did receive the minutes. So I don't know if there's anything on there that you need to touch on, but there's a couple of new developments. Carly, the date for that, we weren't sure at the meeting when the date for the Ball Diamond opening was, but Carly has informed us that it is August 22nd. Is there a time on that day?
Not yet, because it's within an OHFC announcement. So the plan is to visit the two churches in the morning and then the ball field after that. So we're probably aiming around lunchtime.
That's too bad, because that's right, the kids aren't in school, then. So,
and it is a Friday.
Yeah, it is Friday, so that'll be, we're trying to organize maybe if we can get the T-ballers playing at that time, you know.
Yeah,
so opening game.
So you want it later in the afternoon?
Well, for some reason I was thinking the evening was better, but coaches for the T-ball would probably be working, possibly, but maybe there'll be some that aren't. Or staff, or myself, and organize kids' game or something.
Have you discussed this, like, at the recreation meeting?
No.
Well, it'd be good if you mentioned it, because one of the members on the historical committee that's on the recreation committee kept insisting on the barbecue here that the recreation committee was going to hold was going to be at 12 o'clock. So the historical committee would have to do things, like, earlier in the morning. And if the date isn't, if the time isn't already set, then I think that would work out better for the historical committee if it was, you know, there wasn't, you know, this firm deadline that, you know, we have to complete everything by, you know, 12 o'clock, because, you know, it's.
Yeah, this is only in my mind, for some reason I was thinking evening, like a barbecue supper or evening kind of thing, but if it's turning into a lunch, that's fine too, as long as our committee knows. That's kind of what I'm asking Carly, the time, what times we're looking at to determine when this barbecue will happen,
unless there's different ball games going on, because Greensmith wants to throw the first pitch. So if that were an adult game, say, and then the T T-ballers come in the evening, we could do that as well. And again, we are at the mercy of like Graydon Smith's timing and the NOHFC representatives, so I don't think we have a ton of control over when.
Right.
We probably won't know the timings closer to the date anyway, but perhaps multiple games.
Yeah, that would be ideal if we can get the players, you know, but especially when Graydon's attending and any other officials, that's when we want to make it look like it's a busy venue and
like we know what we're doing.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be used. So, as far as time wise, probably the noon thing sounds like that could be if they're looking at the churches in the AM
mm-hmm.
and then come back out here, and being a Friday, they'll want to finish up and go home too, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So, tentatively, we'll say a lunch barbecue.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I think Carly's right. It depends on Graydon and whoever else they
mm-hmm.
bring along.
And if we end up having, well, we have to arrange a time and get, because we have a lot of volunteers and players and the whole bit. If they can't make it for one, you know, it boils down to it. We'll just do the best we can. Because
yep.
all of a sudden we can't just change at the last second and expect that we're going to have everybody show up.
So did Graydon Smith give any indication what time slots he was going to be available? Because it seemed like the information we received was that that day they were going to be available all day.
Yes, but then the schedules of them can change, as I've learned. So they have marked the 22nd down for us tentatively all day, but when it comes down to it, plans may change and they may tell me, oh, we're only available for the morning or the afternoon.
We could maybe get something firmed up just because, you know, for each of the committees, there's a lot of organizing and we need to get things set up for certain times.
No, I agree, but with Graydon being the Associate Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing now, his schedule can conflict with some things. So it happens all the time with me for the district meetings. I have ministers attend and they're on the agenda, and then all of a sudden they're not attending or need to attend at a different time. I understand your concern, but we don't really have much control over when they come.
Because if you can't attend, well, then he most likely is going to send a representative, and that time slot would still be set, because at the last minute we can't change the time slot. Like if he, you know, advises 2 days before that he's not going to be able to make it between the 10 and 4 time slot, you know, as we're anticipating he's available, you know, pretty well during the...
Well,
the
wait, we'll say his constituency assistant, James King, will be available the entire day. It's just great and it's not so much, but...
Okay.
Well, we'll always give him a little hint and say we invite you to our barbecue lunch at...
Well, that's the thing.
12:30.
We did with the opening of the Bedford Bridge. We set up a schedule of when it was going to, the ribbon was going to be cut, and how we're going to get through the buses and everything, all the schedule. Sent to them as well, so they knew the times, and then they came back for the meal. So they once they know what the schedule is, I think they can probably move some things around too to be there. It works both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So you just need a detailed schedule, and by the sounds of it, historical and recreation have to get together first, and then send that off to them and say that these are our times and what we're expecting, and see if they can accommodate them. And if they can't, they'll let you know. But I think you have to have good preparation. They know. Anyway, that's what we've done in the past. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we may just have to set our schedule. Hopefully, they can make it.
Right.
If not, well, when they do, if they say, well, no, we're not going to be there until 3:30, it's like, well, everything's going to be done. Well, somehow or another, we'll arrange a few to meet up. So, I'll stand there and catch your wild attempt at throwing a ball or something.
You can tell them we'll save them a lunch for 3:30.
Leftover wiener there.
You won't guarantee anything about the availability of it.
Okay, yeah, I know it's a lot of work, Carol, so if you find out something, you can let us know if time's getting narrowed down. Good news is Rick Breer is retiring from doing our T-ball program, but we already have Heather Chambers jumping up to the forefront to run the kids' T-ball program. Well, that's good. She sounds quite enthused about the job, so we'll go forward with that. And that's it. That's anything that wasn't on the minutes.
Okay, thank you. Any other committee reports? On to consent agenda. We have resolution 25-181, moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Keckman. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township Keller has hereby received a consent agenda for correspondence. And he wish to pull from that to discuss? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to the question comment period. Related items on the agenda, in person or online. Yes, up to the mic.
Lawrence Rubin, Mayor Moore, a couple quick questions. On the check run approval report, are there any procedures or regulations preventing the municipality from paying more vendors electronically versus check? It's often a much cheaper way of payment.
The township did migrate to EFT payments since we've had issues with the remittance slips actually getting to the vendor. So we're working with our IT coordinator to do so. But yes, it does save money on mailing and then the actual physical check. So we are working towards exclusively going to EFTs and then just issuing checks to the odd vendor that just requires them.
Perfect, great, thank you. And then last question, on the budget, last council meeting, April 1st, council had some discussions, questions about specific items, but there were no changes to the budget made. Were those questions answered successfully? You guys were wondering about priorities for the tower versus the bumper, and there's some, I guess, discussion on Hardy's Road to also continue tonight. I'm just curious whether or not all those questions got answered successfully, since I didn't see any update to the budget from the last.
Yeah, there were discussions from the fire chief on what his priorities were, and this reference to first right of refusal. That came forward to us. We weren't familiar with that, so that I guess led us to put a resolution on tonight to make sure that date was met, tomorrow's date. Otherwise, that may not have been done this year. We weren't aware at the time when we had the meeting that agreement had been signed, so we wanted to honor that for the first right of refusal and meet that date. And so that's why the budget didn't change, even though we had some questions about it. And even at this point, we still have discussions, I think, it's going to be quite involved on the tower, whether that's going ahead or not. It's in there, I know. And there's a proposal that they're working on, I think, to come back to us on that. So there weren't too many changes, no. But that was a sort of an internal from the fire chief that ensured that, he can get his mini pumper, even though we questioned it.
No, thank you very much.
Thank you. To 27, we have the resolution 25-182, moved by Councilor Paston, second by Councilor Zulak. The result of the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar, to hereby give bylaw number 2025-24, make a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed and open the Council this 15th day of April 2025. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-183, move by Councilor Keckinen, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
9:01
p.m. to meet again on May the 6th, 2025, for a regular meeting of Council or at the call of the Mayor. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is